okay, this is exciting to start a new Masechta. Mm-hmm. I learned parts of Megillah many, many years ago, but I never learned the whole Masechta from beginning to end. So we have 6 months, and we'll see how much we can accomplish.
That's Pesach. We're in October. Almost Pesach.
Right. So we have some time.
Yeah. Where's Let's Golden see. City Lights? What neighborhood is that?
Don't know. Not familiar.
Golden City. It says...
But Moshe, let's see if we could, you know, because we only have an hour. Once a week for an hour. I'd like to start right now, if that's okay with you.
More than fine.
I like that attitude. More than fine.
I don't like the lady.
Now, the Mishnah at the very beginning of the Masechta, which you'll see on the front page there, that the photocopy has Daf Beis Amud Aleph. But you know, you have your own Gemara, right?
I have the Gemara from here.
No, I'm saying you.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to ask whether you have ownership of it. I was just asking if you want a photocopy. That's really all I was asking. Now the Mishnah establishes at the beginning of Masechta Megillah a concept called Yom HaKnisa. I'll write it down.
Yom HaKnisa. Day of entrance?
Yeah, and I would translate it as day of assembly. Knisa means to assemble together. Like a Beis HaKnesses is a place, right. A house of assembly, literally. or Anshe Knesset HaGdol, the assembly, right? The men of the great assembly. So what's Yom HaKnisa? What happens is you've got a city of significant size, an urban center, we would call it. We'll put it in the middle like a hub. Mm-hmm. And around it you have villages, which are called kfarim. Now the villagers are not capable of reading the Megillah on their own. They need to come into the big city, to the city slickers, and to hear the Megillah being read. That's the reality. And this was true mostly for Klal Yisrael back in the day. So the question is, how do we get these villagers into the city to hear the Megillah? So you might say, well, let them come in on the 14th of Adar.
Right.
And that's when the cities would read the Megillah. But the problem is that for them to make that trip was a bit of a schlep, to say the least. But they did come in anyway to the city. Joel, I have a photocopy of the Gemara for you.
I'm not sure how much I can see for my glasses, but...
No.
I'm happy to listen.
Here, start with my glasses and then...
No, it's reading glasses. It's fine, don't worry.
These are reading glasses. Does that help you at all?
Give it a shot. I wouldn't use it. It's fine.
No, I'll take it from you. I'm not embarrassed. I take good money for those glasses.
Are you able to see that? That's really glasses.
Yeah, it's okay. I can still see.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we want to make it easy for the villagers. Okay, here's a copy.
The villagers to come.
No. What I mean to say is that if they're coming anyway, we'll facilitate. We'll set up a Kriyas HaMegillah for them.
Right.
When they come into the city.
Right.
So when do they come into the city from the villages? On the Yom HaKnisa. Now, what is the Yom HaKnisa? So the Yom HaKnisa is one of 2 days. It's either Monday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. Those 2 days are the days in which the villagers used to gather in and assemble into the big cities. And the reason they came on Mondays or Thursdays was for the following reasons. Number one, because on those 2 days the Batei Dinim were kvuim, so the courts would convene on Mondays and Thursdays, and I'll explain to you why. Number two, on Mondays and Thursdays, there was Kriyas HaTorah.
Right.
And number three, these became also market days. So it was very attractive for the villagers to make this trek into the cities on Mondays and Thursdays. That would be Yom HaKnisa. Mm-hmm. Now, why was Monday and Thursday... Why were these 2 days set aside? And who set them aside? So this was none other than Ezra HaSofer. Mm-hmm. You remember that Ezra came on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash after a 70-year period of Churban. Now, the miracle of Purim predates Ezra because it takes place towards the beginning of the 70-year period. And it's very interesting that the Mishnah is going to establish a Kriyas HaMegillah on behalf of the villagers based on Yom HaKnisa, which is either Monday or Thursday, anticipating the Takan of Ezra, because our Mishnah is addressing the following question. When Esther and Mordechai, together with what's called the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, which is a great body of scholars made up of who knows how many members, 120, there were 120 members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, when they established Purim and the Chiyuv of Megillah, they established this halach of the Yom HaKnisa. It's very interesting because this halach of Yom HaKnisa is based on the takan of whom? Of Ezra, which is going to happen 70 years down the line. You know, we're now 70 years before the takan of Ezra. We're already anticipating, at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, this enterprise, this institution called Yom HaKnisa, and on behalf of the Yom HaKnisa, we're going to invite the Kfarim, the Bnei HaKfarim, the people who live in the villages, to come into the city on the Yom HaKnisa, and we're going to recite the Megillah on their behalf on the Yom HaKnisa. Purim they'll celebrate back in their villages on the 14th of Adar, but the Kriyas HaMegillah, which they can't implement back in their villages, they don't have the capacity, the capability, so they'll hear the Megillah in the big cities on the Yom HaKnisa. And the Gemara says that this Yom HaKnisa, which is Monday and Thursday, Monday or Thursday, right, would fall out on one of three possible dates that would be before Yud Aleph. It could be Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel. So it comes out like this. The people in the big cities would read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar. The people in the walled cities, they had the same status as which? That's called what? Which city?
Shushan.
Well, yeah, Yerushalayim, you're right. But I'm saying, in terms of the miracle itself, Shushan. So they would celebrate Purim on the 15th, right. And then if they would read the Megillah on the 15th.
Right.
However, on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim, we would institute a Kriyas HaMegillah on their behalf on Yom HaKnisa, which could be the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th. So how many days all told do we have that lend themselves to Kriyas HaMegillah? No, I'm asking, if we take the entire population of Israel, made up of three groups,
right.
Number one, the Bnei HaKfarim, the villages, number two, the Arim,
right.
That's called the Prozim right. Means the open cities, and number three, the Shushan type of guys, the Prachim HaMukafim Choma. So how many days do we have all told for Kriyas HaMegillah?
Five.
Because we have Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and those are only for the villagers,
right.
And then you have Yudalit for the Prozim and Tesvav for the Krochim. So you have all told five days. Joel?
No.
Okay. So that's what we have. We have this concept called Yom HaKnisa.
Why are you doing on the 14th?
Because they're in their villages. We can't expect them to come into the city as a special trip just to hear the Megillah.
Like we do today, why couldn't they do it in the village?
They didn't have the scholars that knew how to read the Megillah. So you and I say, well, everyone can read the Megillah, right? You probably can read the Megillah, I can read the Megillah.
But some people say a woman can read the Megillah.
Again, there are two questions here. One question is, who's halachically approved, or shall we say, valid for Kriyas HaMegillah? That's your question. There's another issue, who can actually read it?
Who's got the capability?
Who's got the capability of reading it properly, knowing where to begin, where to end? Right, you can't combine two different psukim, and you can't read it out of order, and there are many very complicated laws about this Masechta is dedicated to much of this Masechta, those laws. And the villagers were not as scholarly as you and I think they were. That's an understatement. In fact, how complicated it is to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Maestros, and yet the Gemara says that the villagers didn't know much about Trumas and Maestros. There was a great deal of ignorance. So we have to make it comfortable for them to hear the Megillah. They're going to have to come into the cities to hear the Megillah. Instead of making two trips and schlep them into the cities, one when they come in anyway on Mondays and Thursdays, another one when they'll come in on Yud Aleph, because now Yud Aleph is not falling out neither on a Monday or on a so it comes out like this. In the following two scenarios, the Kfarim will read together with the big cities on the same day, the 14th of Adar. Either if your Dalet falls on a Monday or if your Dalet falls on a Thursday. Everybody have that? Because in any event, that's a Yom HaKnisa they're coming in. But the Mishnah works with all the logical possibility as to when, what day of the week your Dalet would fall out on. So let me give you, for example, we'll work backwards. The most extreme case in the Mishnah would be the following. Let's say your Dalet falls out on a Sunday. And when did the villagers come into the city for Kriyas HaTorah?
Monday and Thursday.
So Thursday would be the latest, would be the most proximate day of Yom HaKnisa to Sunday when Yud Dalet and Adar. So how many days are there between Thursday and Sunday?
3 days.
3 days. So now you're going to have to go back from Yud Dalet 3 days. Meaning Thursday, which is Yom HaKnisa, is going to be the 11th of Adar.
Right.
Friday will be the 12th, Shabbos will be the 13th, and Sunday will be the 14th.
Right.
So here's a scenario in which the Bnei Kfarim will read as early as Yiral, as the 11th day of Hadar. And the Mishnah works out all the mathematical problems. Okay. Now, what we want to discuss today as an introduction to Masechta Megillah. Because, as I said, the first sugya of Masechta Megillah is this concept called Yom HaKnisa, on behalf of the villagers, the Kfarim. Mm-hmm. We want to discuss the following issue. When we establish the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, those three extra days of Yom HaKnisa, as days of Kriyas HaMegillah on behalf of the Bnei Kfarim, is that really Purim? Because Purim has many dimensions to it. Purim is a day of Kriyas HaMegillah, but that doesn't exhaust the entire significance of Purim. What else does Purim have?
Shloch Manos,
Matanos Avyonim, what else? Mishteh, Seuda. It's basically called a Yom Tov. Not in the technical sense of Iser Molocha, but Yom Tov in the sense that it's a day of Simcha. So the Torah in the Megillah, it speaks about it's even more than Chanukah, because Chanukah doesn't say Simcha anywhere regard to Chanukah. It says Hallel v'Hodoyah. Yeah. The one who put Simcha into Chanukah was the Rambam. So we're going to have, the Rambam decided that these are days of Simcha, the 8 days of Chanukah. But Pashta Simcha is a concept that's related to Purim. That's why you'll hear here in Israel everybody say Simchas Purim.
Yeah.
That's halachically valid.
Right.
There's no such thing as Simchas Chanukah. I mean, again, it's always good to be b'simcha. Against your frame.
Sure.
The whole year round we should be b'simcha. Okay. Now, when we say, for example, in that extreme case that I gave you just before, where the Yudalid B'Adar fell on Sunday, and the Bnei Kfarim are going to read the Megillah on Thursday, Yom HaKnisa, the 11th, when will they eat their Sudas Purim? When do they have Simchas Purim? On Yudal. Mm-hmm. So we have now a schizophrenic situation. We've got Purim as far as Megillah is concerned, but not as far as all the other dinim of Purim. In fact, it's very interesting because Yud Gimel, the 13th of Adar, is a classical case of Yom HaKnisa. So for example, let's say that Yud Dalet B'Nisan fell, let's say, on a Tuesday. So when are they going to read the Megillah and the Kfarim? Again, if Yud Dalet B'Adar, I meant to say, did I say Nisan? I meant to say Adar.
Yes.
Sorry. So you mentioned Pesach, so you got my head wrapped around Pesach. But, right?
If the door comes on Sunday, you mentioned.
No. So wait a minute. Let me give you this scenario. Let's say Purim, Yud Dalet, falls on a Tuesday. So when are the Bnei Kfarim going to read?
The day before.
Which is what day in the calendar? Monday, the day in the week, but what day in the calendar? Yud Gimel. What also is Yud Gimel? Yud Gimel is Tainus Esther.
Right.
So how could you imagine that this day is a day of Simcha when it's a day of fasting, of solemnity, as we'd say? It's a solemn day. The answer is that although they're going to read the Megillah on Yud Gimel, the Simchas Purim will be on Yud Dalet. Where are they on Yud Dalet on that Tuesday?
Back in the
they're back in the Kfarim. And that's where they're going to be jumping around, and there'll be bands in the street in these villages, and they're going to be giving mishloach manos and matanos levim.
That they knew how to do.
What do you say?
That they knew how to do.
I can't hear you.
That they knew how to do.
Yeah. that they, you don't have to be a great scholar for that. That the basics of simcha they could achieve.
Reading the Megillah mean twice or one time when they did it.
Okay. So that's going to be the question that we have to ask. Let's say, for example, a villager would read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar, because that's Monday, right? And the 14th of Adar is Tuesday. And lo and behold, this villager, we'll call him Yankala, he shows up in the city on the 14th, on a Tuesday. Normally he doesn't show up on a Tuesday, but he had a special meeting, a very important appointment. He came up on Tuesday. Now, he already read the Megillah when?
The day before.
The day before, on Monday, on Yom HaKnisa, in the city. Maybe he stayed overnight. And now, it's the 14th of Adar, and he finds himself where? In the city. He became a big city slicker now. He read the Megillah yesterday, right? And now, he finds himself in the city. Everyone around him is reading the Megillah. He already read the Megillah yesterday. Is he obligated to read the Megillah again?
No.
So I'm going to show you a Rashi. And that Rashi is going to be on the flip side of the page I gave you. Or if you have a Gemara, you're going to turn to page Yud Tes Amud Aleph.
Oh, here.
Okay.
This is Ben-Ir Shehalech. Correct for that?
Yeah, we're going to look at a line in the Gemara that's the question is how to identify the line. So, the first word in the line, this is not going to help you too much, it's in the smack in the middle of Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, is the word Mukaf. So it's like smack in the middle of the page. Do you find such a line that says Mukaf? Okay, so the Amar Rav, that's where we want to start.
I can't even see it.
You don't see it. Yeah, if you give me your Gemara, I'll underline it for you. Okay. Here, the Omar Rav. That's who we want to start. Okay. Ben Kfar Shaholach Leir. Okay, the Ben Kfar was in the city. So again, where does he live? Where's his domicile? In the village. Okay? But his neighbors in the village will read on Yom HaKnisa. Correct? But now, Shaholach Leir, he finds himself in the city on the 14th. So Rava says, Benkach u'benkach korei imahem. In other words, whether or not he's going to go back home on the night of Purim, or he's going to sleep over the night of Purim, which is Yudalit, right? He's in the city now. Korei imahem. What does that mean, korei imahem?
He reads with them.
He reads together with them on when? On the 14th. So again, his group of neighbors will read the Megillah on the 13th. He finds himself on the night of the 14th in the city. He's going to read the Megillah with them on the 14th. Now here's the question I want to ask you. Is this the first time he's reading the Megillah? Or did he read the Megillah? Did he read the Megillah on the 13th, and now he's going to read the Megillah a second time? When I say read, I mean hear the Megillah, because he's not capable of reading. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ben Kfar. Now let me just give me your page here, because you're going to start looking for this Rashi. You're not going to find it. Here, Ben Kfar, I'm going to underline it for you. Okay, there's a Rashi there, Ben Kfar. Okay, great. Two lines above Mukaf. Three lines, maybe. Three. He says, Shehikdim. What does Hikdim mean? Earlier, right? Hikdim. Vikara. And he read it. Again, it doesn't mean reading it. It was read on his behalf, right? Liyom HaKnisa. which was yesterday, yeah, on Monday. Today is Tuesday. So on Yud Gimel of Adar, he already heard the Megillah. The Acharkach Halach Leir, the Hayasham Vilel Yudalit. So on the Yom HaKnisa, he was in the city to hear the Megillah. Now, let's say he goes back to the village, but he finds himself in the city on a second time around on the night of the 14th. So he may have heard the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. That's irrelevant to us now. But now he finds himself on the night of Purim, meaning Yud Dalet, in the city. And what does Rava say in this case? Whether or not he's going back that night or he's sleeping over in the city that night, it makes no difference, says Rava. Korei Imayim. He's now hearing the Megillah twice. He heard the Megillah already on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, whichever those 3 days, and all the different scenarios. And now he's going to hear the Megillah again because he's in the city. So if you take a look at Tosfos, Divrei Hamasel Ben Kfar, can you find that? That's a little easier. It's the third Tosfos on the page. He writes, Pirish Rashi, the Afal Pisha Kfar Kora B'Yom HaKnisa. Even though on the Yom HaKnisa he already read the Megillah, he's got to read it a second time because he finds himself in the city on Yud Dalet. The Kasha. And I don't get it, says Tosfos. Lama Yachzor V'Yikra Shtei Pa'amim. You know, if it was Leil HaSeder, again, you mentioned the Leil HaSeder before, Moshe, Leil HaSeder Shtei Pa'amim. If we dip in the Irakos twice, you know.
Right.
Once, Kidei Lohores HaTinokos, and the other is Bishum Mitzvah Morah. But why is this guy reading the Megillah on two different days, according to Rav, the way Rashi interprets the Sugya? Now, at this point in Tosfos, he sort of backtracks, and he tries to justify Rashi. And he says, Umikomakom, Nirish, the Shapir Pirish Rashi. Rashi is good. Why? The Kevan Shahoya Be'ir Belaila, Nasek Bnei Ha'ir. He melds, he blends into the Bnei Ha'ir, he gets the status of a Bnei Ha'ir. Afal Pisha Asid Latsar Likfar, even though he's going to go back for the balance of the day of Yud Dalet of Purim, back into his village. The Afal Pisha Kfar Kora B'Yom HaKnisa. He says that even though he already read the Megillah, he can read it twice. So it's very interesting. You never see this in Tosfos. This is like very exceptional. On the one hand, Tosfos makes a statement about Rashi, and he says, I don't get Rashi, casually. How could he read the Megillah twice? On the other hand, he says, no. He can read the Megillah twice because he becomes a Ben Ha'ir, because he finds himself in the city on Purim. Now it could be that Rashi derived this from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, on Daf Yud Tes. What does the Mishnah say on Daf Yud Tes? Let's go backtrack a little bit to the Mishnah. Ben Ha'ir Shahalach Lekrach. So normally, if he wasn't in the krach, when would he read the Megillah?
14.
On the 14th. But now he finds himself in a krach where they read the Megillah when? 15. On the 15th. Uben krach shaholach le'ir, or the reverse. He was really anticipating reading the Megillah on the 15th, but he finds himself in the city. Im asid laso le'makomo, korei kimakomo. And he's just passing through. So this ben ear is passing through the krach, or the ben krach is passing through the ear. Then he will read on that day. So this is very interesting, because if the Ben Ear finds himself in a krach, but his intentions go back to the ear, he hasn't returned to the ear, and he's already reading the Megillah. When is he reading the Megillah? If the Ben Ear is Kore Kimakomo, then when is he reading the Megillah?
14th.
On the 14th. Where is he reading the Megillah? In the krach. Nobody else is reading the Megillah except for him. I was wondering if one of the members of the krach could read the Megillah on his behalf. He hasn't yet got to the mitzvah of Purim yet, of Megillah. Anyway, v'im lav. But if he is now remaining in the city, so he's not just passing through the city, let's say it's a ben krach, or a ben ir in a krach, then korei imahim.
Is krach the village?
No, the kfar, you have to be careful. They're very similar. They're both...
Krach,
They're both three letters, and they both start with a chaf. Right? There's a kfar.
Kfar is a village, right?
Village, and a krach. Krach is a walled city that reads on the 15th. So it says in the Mishnah that if he's going to, let's say he's going to stay in, he's a ben krach, meaning he's really set to read the Megillah on the 15th, but now he finds himself on Yudalit in the city, and he's not just passing through, he's going to spend some time in the city. I don't know exactly how much time, but let's say he's staying overnight. Then he has to read the Megillah on Yudalit. Now what happens if he reads the Megillah on Yudalit, and then the morning of Yudalit, so Leil Yudalit, he already read the Megillah. Now the morning of Yudalit, he goes back to the Krach, to his own local walled city. You know, he's back in Yericho or Tiberio, Yerushalayim, or in Shushan. So in such a case, Rashi at least would argue that now he's chayev in reading the Megillah a second time around. He was chayev to read on Yudalit because he became a ben ear for Yudalit. He's going to be chayev now to read on Tesvav on the 15th again because he's a krach and now he finds himself back in the krach. Especially if he would stay in the city for the 15th, so he arrived in the city the night of the 14th, he's got a 2-day stay in a hotel. In such a case, he would read the Megillah together with the ear on the 14th, and then he doesn't read it on the 15th. But if on the other hand, he's going to find himself in two different places, on the 14th he finds himself in the ear, and on the 15th he finds himself in the krach.
He has to do it twice.
Has to do it twice.
Is there a chance he could even do it three times?
Well, I'm not. We may be saying the same thing, Joel. What do you mean by three times?
When you've got the when the krach comes into the city itself, and he finds himself in the krach as well.
Oh, I see. That's brilliant. Wow. Let's go through this.
Let's say it's a business.
Right. Let me digest this. I'm a little slow. Let me get this down. So he's a ben kfar. He's a kfar, and he finds himself. So he comes in on the Yom HaKnisa, if he has to go to Beis Din or he wants to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and it's Yud Gimel, he's going to read Megillah on Yud Gimel. Now he finds himself on Yudalit in the city, he's going to have to read the Megillah a second time, says Rashi, because together with the Bnei Ha'ir. If he's staying overnight in the city, but then So here I don't know. You're saying that he'll be chayv on the 15th. I don't think so.
If he goes to the Krach.
If he goes to the Krach, I don't think he'll be chayv on the 15th. Because I'll tell you, since he heard the Megillah on the 14th, together with the Bnei Ha'ir, in other words, the case where you're going to have two days of Megillah in our Mishnah is the case of a Ben Krach who finds himself on the 14th in the ear. So that even though his day of Megillah reading is the 15th, he's going to have to read it on the 14th. So to a ben kfar, even though his day of reading the Megillah is on the 13th, he's going to have to read it on the 14th. But everybody sort of converges on the 14th. In the case of a ben kfar who heard the Megillah on the 13th, and then he was in the city on the 14th, I don't think he'd be chayiv if he ends up in a krach on the 15th. Why? Because he doesn't have the status of a ben krach. Our case is a ben krach who finds himself in the ear, so he can pick up the status of a ben ear and then go home to his krach and read it together with his ikar chiyuv, which his main chiyuv is on the 15th. I don't know. But anyway, you're raising a very interesting point. So what I find difficult about the language of Tosfos is that Tosfos initially, almost like a knee-jerk response, when he quotes Rashi, he says, "V'kasha loma yachzor v'yikra shnei pa'amim." If you read that line over and over again until it sinks in, you see that Tosfos is absolutely convinced that it makes no logical sense that you could be chayav and kriyas Megillah twice on two different days. But doesn't Tosfos realize what he says in the next line? "V'karakol nirah shapir pirush Rashi." Why? Because since he was in the city on the night of the 14th, he becomes a ben ear. And in Lechora, I don't know, Tosfos like woke up out of a reverie, out of a dream. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah itself says that you could become a ben krach, or a ben krach could become a ben ear if he's finds himself in a different location. So the Mishnah itself seems to assume that you can be chayav in Kriyas Megillah on two different dates. So how does Tosfos justify this question? V'kasha lama yachzar v'yikra shnei pa'am. I mean, did Tosfos skip the Mishnah?
We have this problem today.
Right? Problem it's today. It's very common.
It can be on the 14th. You could be in a place like
Telstone.
Telstone, which right? And on the 15th, you could be in Jerusalem.
Correct. So does he read it on both days, or one day is enough? So Tosfos in his original position says, how can you tell me that he has to read it on 2 days? We never found the Kriyas HaMegillah on 2 different days, for one person on 2 different days. But then he says, Efshar, this Shabbat Pirush Rashi. Rashi is right, and you have to read it on 2 different days. Why? Because your status changes when you find yourself in the city, and you're sleeping over in the city, but now you become a Ben Ear on a temporary basis, and that generates a new Chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah. He already read the Megillah on the 13th because he was a Ben Kfar. The 13th was a Monday or a Thursday, it was Yom HaKnisa. So what? Tosfos says Rashi is correct. It's going to be 2 days of Chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah. But initially, Tosfos rejected. Now, in order to try to analyze this, what I'd like to learn with you is that Beis Amenal. So let's turn to the other side of your page, or if you have it in 2 pages, or if you have the Gemara. Yeah, Beis Amenal. Okay. So the Gemara says, Megillah Nikreis B'Yud Aleph. I see here there's a girsa change. Okay, fine. Anyway, minolan. Now this is very interesting. The Gemara is asking minolan. What's the source for this halacha of Yud Aleph? In other words, if we go back to the Megillah itself, the Megillah makes no mention of anything other than 2 days. Which 2 days are mentioned in the Megillah? The 14th and the 15th. There's no mention of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So the Gemara says, Minolan? You're asking me Minolan? Kiriba'ina lememar lekamon. The Gemara is going to say later on, this is Sugya Daf Dalet, Chachamim hikilu ala kfarim, they made it easier for the kfarim, lios makdimim liom haknisa. Why? Because we very much want to encourage the Bnei HaKfarim to come in on the Mondays and Thursdays. Now it's a little bit odd here because we said now, until now, that why did we encourage the Bnei HaKfarim to enter into the big cities on Mondays and Thursdays?
For the Beitin or the Kriyas
HaTorah. Right, Beitin or Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara has a different logic here. And the Gemara says, Lios, Kidei Sheyaspeku Mayim Umazon Lacheim Shebekrochim. Because these were the farmers, and they had to bring in supplies of food and water for that matter, because they had rivers and so forth and so on near their farms, and supply this for the urban city slickers, because they didn't have farms. So what are you asking me now on? The Gemara itself says the Chachamim had a kula, a leniency. Because again, if we would force the Bnei HaKfarim to come in on Yudalid, like the Bnei Ha'ir, then they would not come in twice, and they wouldn't show up on a Mondays and Thursdays, which would be lacking or lagging behind in our supplies. So the Gemara says, "Anan hachi kamrina." This is what we meant to ask. Michti kulu anshe knes hagdol tiknua. All the days of Kriyas HaMegillah were established by the anshe knes hagdola back at the time of Mordechai and Esther. And the Gemara now goes through an elaborate, complicated proof that all these 5 days, the whole unit, was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And therefore, it must be that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, if they established 5 days, that was the initial takana of Kriyas HaMegillah for those 5 days, they must have said something about it in the Megillah. It can't be the Megillah would tell us and mislead us that we're establishing only 2 days for Kriyas HaMegillah, Yudalit and Tesvav, and completely omit the other 3 days. So we've got to find what's called some sort of a remez. You know, the Torah could be read on two levels. There's pshat and there's remez. So on the pshat level, the only 2 days that are mentioned in the Megillah itself on a simple, straightforward, literal is only Yudalit and Tesvot. But we're going to have to find a remez for the other 3 days. So if you skip a few lines here, because there's a complicated digression over here, the Gemara says, Heichan Remiza, where do we find a remez? Omer Rav Shemen Bar Abba, Omer Rav Yochanan. By the way, Brian, you have an art school, right? Can you tell me how to pronounce Shin Mem Nun here? What vocals? What? Do they have I'm assuming it's Shemen, but maybe I'm wrong. You don't have vowels, do you? No.
Yeah, no vowels. Yeah.
No? It may be in the English translation, on the other side of the page. Are you looking on the Hebrew side or on the English?
On the English side.
On the English side, there are no vowels there? I always thought that...
No, there is vowels. There is vowels. Sorry.
Oh. So if you can find Shin Mem Nun, I'm just curious, you know...
Also, the Talmud Yerushalmi, they have even more remarkable names, right? They're there for these short names.
Right. So I'm wondering if this name is Shemen or not. I think it's Shemen, but I don't know. All right. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan. Amar Kro. The pasuk says, "Lekayim es yemei." Okay, this is in the ninth chapter. We're at the very end of Megillah. It says, "Lekayim es yemei apurim ha'elu bizman nehem." Now, let's notice a few things about the word bizmanehem. First of all, it's in plural. Lashon Rabba. But it's even more complicated. Because the plural of the word zman is zmanam or zmanim. And here it says zmanehem. So it could have said zman, zmanam. And instead it says zmanehem. So the Gemara says that the extra word zmanehem, if you could underline the next four words, Zmanim Harbe Tiknulahem, that many different days were established for the reading of the Megillah. So even though the Megillah explicitly only mentions 2 days, but the fact that the Megillah added the word Zmanim, which is a superfluous word, L'kayim Esimei Apur Me'ilu B'Zmanim, it's coming to teach us that there are additional days for Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara says, Haimi Boile L'Gufe. It really never says in the Megillah that on the 15th of Adar we read the Megillah. So we really need the pasuk Bizmanehem to tell me that we read the Megillah not only on the 14th in the case of the Prozim, but also on the 15th in the case of the Krochim. And that in the Gemara's language is Hai mi boile legufe. I need it for itself. So Gemara says no. Im kein lema kroz man. All we need is the word zman. Why? Because in the previous pasuk, it says that the people in the Prozim finished their battle against Amalek on the 13th, and they rested on the 14th. And then the pasuk says that the people in Shushan finished their battle on the 14th. They had an extra day of battle, and they rested on the 15th. And then the Torah says that they read the Megillah. So if it would have said Bizman or Zman in the singular, we would have understood that the Zman is Yudalid for the Prozim and Tesvav for the Krochim. My Zmanehem. So why did the Torah add Zmanehem? Zmanim Tuva. There are many, many different days. Where it says Akati mi boile zmano shel zeh lo kizmano shel zeh, I need the plural to teach me that if a ben ear wants to read on the 15th, he can't do so. If a ben krach wants to read on the 14th, he can't do so. Meaning that it's not just one unit of 2 days, but rather 2 separate days, and respectively, these have to read on this day and those on that day. Imkein lema kro zmanam. The Gemara says it could have said zmanam their times, meaning respective. They in the cities read it on the 14th. They in the Krach in the walled cities read it on the 15th. My Zmanehem? Why did the Torah have to say, the Tanakh have to say Zmanehem? Shamet Mina Kulu. Therefore we're going to derive all of these days. The Gemara says, Amos manim tuva zmanehem dumya dizmanim mazmanim trey afzmanehem trey. So maybe just like zman is 2 days, so too zmanehem is coming to include another 2 days. We'll sort of like clone the 2 days and make it another 2 days. Then you're left with 4 days. So how do you get 5 days? V'ema treysar utlesar. So maybe on the 12th and the 13th. And your answer is, K'domar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Yud Gimel, the 13th, is Zman Kehila Lakolhu. Because what happened was that they gathered together back at the time of Mordechai and Esther on the 13th to do what? So how do you say it?
Fast.
Oh, you're getting a little, you're sounding a little American there, am I having a spun? I thought you were going to say to fast. I guess it depends what part of England you're from.
If you're from the south, say fast.
Okay. So the 13th was certainly Yom HaKnisa. Yeah. And there's no question that if you're adding days for Kriyas HaMegillah, the 13th is a great candidate, a perfect candidate for reading the Megillah, because that's Man Kihil HaKol. I don't need a ribui to include the 13th. So if I have a ribui to include 2 days, which 2 days am I going to include? The 11th and the 12th. Then the Gemara says, this is the last of the very thin lines, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni has a different pasuk, Omar Kro, the Torah says, Kayomim, Asher nachu bohem hayehudim me'oyvehem. Kayomim. So what's this extra word, kayomim? He says, yomim kayomim. There are the yomim, if he would have left out the chaf, and that would be yudalid and tesvav. But kayomim is telling me to add another 2 days, which is the 11th and the 12th. Again, you might ask, well, maybe it's the 12th and the 13th, but the Gemara again is going to pull the same Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak out of the hat and say that Yigimul is man kiilu lakol, and therefore I don't need a pasuk to teach me the 13th. If I have a pasuk kayomim that's including another 2 days, mirror imaging the 2 days of Yudalit and Tesfav, it's going to be Yudalit and Yudbeis. The Gemara later on says that although we started with Rav Shamon or Rav Shemen bar Abba, and he had the pasuk bismanehem, zmanim harbe tiknulahem. So Gemara says, my time alo omar mi kayomim. Why didn't he agree with and accept the drush of Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak of kayomim? No, I'm sorry, not Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. I got the names mixed up here. Of, who is it? Just 1 second, I lost the... Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, right? Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. So he says that the pasuk Kayomim Armalach Ahu LeDoros Hu Dichsid. The Torah wants to tell you, the Tanakh wants to tell you that these days of Purim were established for all generations, not for just for the generation of the salvation.
Interesting. Where do you use the kaf for? Because kaf is like coming to equate something or to make it equal.
Right.
So he doesn't use it for the days himself or the festival, but for the future generations.
Right. He's saying that, he's reading it like this. Al kena Yehudim, etc., etc., osim is yomar basar, right, simcha mishtav yontif. And then it says, l'kayim aleihem. So the words l'kayim aleihem mean for all generations. How do I know it's for all generations? Because it says, kayomim asher nachu behem ha-Yehudim me'aveihem. In other words, they will commemorate Purim just like the original commemoration of Purim. Do you hear that, Binyamin?
Yeah.
Kayomim eshar nachu lehem ha-Yehudim. In other words, it's one generation that did not experience the Nes, and they're going to commemorate these days as days of Simcha, etc., like the days in which their ancestors, the previous generation, rested after the war. Okay. Let me just see if I left anything out. Oh, then the Gemara says on the second of the very wide lines, it says, Rav Shimon bar Nachmani, my time alo, omer mi bizman nehem. Why didn't Rav Shimon bar Nachmani accept the drasha of Rav Shaman Bar Abba Bizmaneim, Zman, Zmanom, Zmaneim Lo Mashmole. He doesn't think that these words are superfluous. I'm just going to read to you the translation that I have. He says the following. He says, Lefi Daito, Zmaneim Eino Ribu, V'lobala Hosif Yomim Nosafim. So he doesn't like the drasha of Zmaneim. Okay, fine. So what is going on over here? The Gemara is making such a big deal about whether we derive the conclusion of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel already is a Kal Vachomer because that's the real Yom HaKnisa. But Yud Aleph and Beis, do we derive from Zmaneim or do we derive from Kayonim? You could say that maybe the argument here is just about drushes, you know, what words are superfluous, what not. So I want to show you a sefer, this is what I call show and tell, called Mishnas Yavetz. This is what it looks like. Just passing around, if you don't mind. And this sefer was authored not long ago by the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Bezalel Zsolti. Anybody ever hear of him?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
I would say about 15, 20 years ago, maybe. Not that long ago. So he authored three volumes on Shulchan Aruch, a commentary on the Halacha, which is called Mishnas Yavetz. And he has an article here, which is called Bnei Kfarim B'Kriyas HaMegillah. Okay, the status of Bnei Kfarim as far as Kriyas HaMegillah is concerned. And in this article, he quotes the Sugya on Daf Yutes that we saw before. He quotes the Rashi on Daf Yutes together with the Tosfos on Daf Yutes. And then he adds a quote from the Ritva. And the Ritva, let's just see, we have a few more minutes. I'm wondering whether or not we should make a copy of this so you could see it inside. But I don't want to take the time. So does anybody know how to do double-sided and would want to volunteer to do this so we can? But I don't want you to miss this. You know what? I'll just read it bal peh, alright?
Alright.
Okay. So the Chidush HaRitva says the following. He says, Ben Krach Shaholach Sham. So Ben Krach goes to the city on the 14th of Adar, Venis Akev Sham Ad Boker Shal Yudalid, Kore Imahem, that was Rava, if you recall, back on Daf Yud Tesom and Aleph, Im Chazar Limkoma Belel Tesvav, Chozer Vekore Imahem. So the Ritva is absolutely outspoken about the fact that here's a case where you chayv in Megillah on 2 days, because you're a Ben Krach who finds yourself, you find yourself in the big city, the open city, I should say, on Yudalit. So you're going to have to read on Yudalit, and then you get back to your home on Tesvav, you're going to have to read it a second time. The Afal Pi, says the Ritva, Shenis chayv kfar in Bnei Ha'ir v'shaholach l'sham, nevertheless, Chazar v'nis chayv in Bnei Krach. So he becomes integrated into Bnei Ha'ir because he went to that city on the 14th, and he's chayev in Megillah. He becomes now integrated back in his hometown in the Krach, the walled city on Tesvav, and he has to be chozer, and he has to read it a second time. And the Ritva is very happy about this. He has no qualms. He says, G'dola mizu amr b'yushalmi to Ben Ha'ir, sha'akar dirasa. Imagine a person is moving. And when is he moving? He's moving on the night of the 15th of Adar. That's when the movers come to move his furniture. He was a Ben Ir. He lived in the open city of Tel Aviv. Now on the 15th, at night of Adar, he's moving to Yerushalayim. Says the Yerushalmi, Nischayev Kan V'Kan. He's chayev both in Tel Aviv on the 14th and in Yerushalayim on the 15th. Says the Ritva, V'Kolshkein Zeh, and how much more so, this person, Sheikar Diroso Haya Bekrach, he really lives in a Krach. That's where all his furniture is. That's where his flat is. Velohaya Be'ir Ella Ger, he's only an alien, you know, that's traveling through the city, so he's staying in a hotel in Tel Aviv, but he lives in Yerushalayim. Hu Prazi Ben Yomo. He is a Prazi for that day of Yudalit. And certainly he's Chayav in Megillah twice. He's going to be Chayav as a Prazi B'toras Ger on Yudalit. He's Chayav in his place, which is Ikar Makom Dirasso, in the Krach on the 15th, Vizeh Borer. This is an even a greater case than the Yerushalmi's case. Yerushalmi is when he removes his house on the 15th. So you would have said, well, he was chayv on the 14th because he lived in the city. He lived in Tel Aviv on the 14th, and he was yotze ischir. No, Yerushalmi says he's chayv on the 15th. Why? Because now he establishes domicile in Yerushalayim on the 15th. How much more so if he's only a ger on the 14th in Tel Aviv, and he reads the Megillah on the 14th, how much more so he's going to be chayv a second time around when he gets to his hometown, because he was always a Ben Krach. He says, V'zeh borer v'shelo kidas hatosfus. It sounds like the Ritva is only aware of one line in Tosfos on this issue. Namely, when Tosfos says on Daf Yutes,
how could Rashi
possibly say that he's chayev twice? He's unaware of the fact, apparently, that Tosfos, you know, reassembled his troops and he accepted Rashi. Then the Ritva goes ahead and he says, V'yesh k'tzah sadla zeh b'gemara. He says, although in the Yerushalmi it's crystal clear, but in our Gemara, the Bavli, Gemara Didan, Ha'amrina b'samot ben k'far shaholach le'ir, ben kach u'ben kach korei imohem. So now we're talking about a villager who finds himself on the 14th in the big city. Ha'hi vadi lo nitzucha el ben k'far shehikdim liyom ha'knisa v'niftar v'afilu hachi kevin shebola ir achkach u'mokom chiyuvah min adin v'chozer v'kore imoyem. His hachinami afal pi shenischayev beir lefishu poros ben yomo came into chazal lekrach shu ikar makomo chiyuvo chozer v'kori mayim. The Ritva claims that it's not just the Yerushalmi that has a double chiyuv of Megillah; it's also the Bavli, because the Bavli says that the ben kfar who already heard the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, he finds himself in the city on Yud Aleph, he's going to read together with the Bnei Ha'ir, he's chayev a second time. And the same logic is going to apply to the case of Ben Krach, who finds himself in the ear on the 14th, and he's going to read the Megillah on the 14th. When he gets to his Krach on the 15th, he's going to have to read a second time. So according to the Ritva, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi accept a double chiyuv of 2 days. What's it called in finance?
Double-sided entry.
Double-sided entry, okay. No, I meant something else. When you double-dipping or something, there's a phrase. I'm trying to remember what it is. Anyway, according to the far bottom line, both the Yerushalmi and the Bavli hold you could be Chayav Megillah on two separate days. So the chief rabbi, Bezal Zsolti, in this article, wants to explain what's going on over here. And he says it all depends upon the following question. When we say that a ben kfar reads the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, how do we understand that? He says there are two ways of defining it. He says one way of defining it is that really the Chiyuv Megillah is on the 14th. Just that we made a kula and we said that for the benefit of the kfarim, we're going to allow them to have a substitute fulfillment of this mitzvah. It's not the real day of Purim as far as Megillah is concerned. He goes ahead here and he calls it tashlumen. It's like a makeup. Usually tashlumen is afterwards. Here we have a tashlumen beforehand. Meaning on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, he's going to have a tashluma, but it's not a kriya bizmano. The kriya bizmano is on the 14th, even for the bnei akfarim. Or do we say no? It's not the way we said it, that the ikar chiyuv for the bnei akfarim is on the 14th. That's the zman, and the din of kedima is only a tashlumin. But rather, they gave them a different zman for kriyas hamegila, and their zman is on Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel. Says Rav Zsolti, this depends upon the two different drashos. How do we derive Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel? He says, according to the drasha of Zmanehem, that was Rav Shaman Bar Abba, the name of Rav Yochanan, Zmanim, what do you say?
Rav
Shimon.
Shimon?
Shemen with a segel.
I think so.
Oh, okay, good. So I like that, because I thought it was Shemen. Okay, so Rav Shemen
Bar Abba.
Bar Abba, the name of Rav Yochanan, he holds Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lehem. What does that mean, Zmanim Harbe? There are five different days for the mitzvah of Megillah. So the Bnei Krachim will read it on Tesvav, the Bnei Prozim will read it on Yudalev, and the Bnei Kfarim, the Kfar people, they'll read it on Yudalev, Yudbez, or Yudgimel. So the Kriyas HaMegillah of Yom HaKnisa, whenever that Monday and Thursday is for the Bnei Kfarim, that is called Kriya Vizmana. Because Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lehem Chachamim, that's called Zmanayim. So all 5 days are called Zmanayim.
They're all equal? Exactly.
And they're all equal. Each one is a day of Chiyuv Megillah in and of itself. However, he says, Lirav, help me out again with the names, Rav Shimon Bar Nachmeni, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, right? He has it abbreviated. He says, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Dorash Le Mikra Kayomim. His drush is Kayomim Asher Nochu Bohem HaYehudu. Yomim ki yomim, l'rabos yud aleph yud beis, hainu, de Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmeni sover, his opinion is the ikar chiyuv shel b'nei akfarim hu b'yudalit. That's the zman for the b'nei akfarim. V'hodim akdivim l'yom haknisa, hu tashlumin l'zman achiyuv, de kishem sheyesh ma'achrim b'toras tashlumin. Right? For example, in Chagiga, if you didn't bring the Chagiga on time, they give you another 7 days after the day of Yontif to be Mashlim, and that's called Toras Tashlumin, 7 days after Yontif. Kach yesh din shel Toras Tashlumin l'gabi kriyas hamegillah umakdimim liyom haknisa. Now, I'm not 100% sure why he sees that in the word kayomim. Because I would have said, and Binyamin, I think you'll agree with me, that Kayomim implies an equation, right? The Chaf Adimyam. But he's saying it's not an equation. It's more or less like a substitute, a kind of extension, that just like you could be Makayim your mitzvah on Yudalid and Tesvav, which those are the days and the only days of Chiyuv Megillah, we can allow you to fulfill that same Chiyuv on a different day as kind of a substitute, and it's only a Tashlum.
Also, maybe you see different words. You see the first limud tiknu, that's really tiknu, they're all the same.
Correct.
This is not a book.
Correct.
It's just adding.
Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachomim. That was a takon in each one of these zman. Masha'enkin, if you say kayomim, l'rabot, is l'rabot means that even though it's not tikr chiyuv, but you can also fulfill the mitzvah on Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, he calls it what? Toras tashlum. And he wants to say now that this whole discussion about whether you could be chayv twice or not really depends on this machlokas. If you're going to say zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachomim, and there are 5 different days, each of which generates a chiyuv, so the real day of chiyuv of the bnei akfarim is on Yom HaKnisa, why should they be chayv a second time around? But if on the other hand you're going to say it's all a tashlumin, but it's not the real makor, that's not the ikar day of chiyuv, then in the case of a ben kfar, although he already read the Megillah on Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, that only betaris tashlumin, now he's in the city on Yud Dalet, now he becomes obligated the ikar chiyuv of zman ha-Megillah, which is on Yud Dalet. And he wants to suggest that when Tosus vacillates back and forth, first initially he rejects Rashi and he says, how can you be chayiv twice? Tosus at that point understood that the Bnei HaKfarim fulfilling the chiyuv of Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, that's the Iker Zman HaChiyuv. And since they fulfilled their Iker Zman HaChiyuv, there's no point and no rhyme or reason to obligate them a second time around. Then Tosus turns around and he says, Shapir, he accepts Rashi, you could be chayiv twice. And the reason for that is because now he understands that Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel is only Bataris Tashlumen. Now Tashlumen is conditional. Tashlumen means if you can't fulfill the Iker Chiyuv, then we're going to give you an option of a Tashlumen, of a substitute. But if now you have the possibility, you came and encountered, you came in contact with the Iker Chiyuv, now you have to read the Megillah a second time around, and that's the Maskon of Tosus. So it comes out that Tosus's vacillation back and forth really depends upon this machlokas about how to derive the extra days of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, the Bnei HaKfarim, whether you derive it like Rav Shemen Bar Abba, the name of Rav Yochanan, Bismarim Harbe Tikulem Chachom Zmaneim, and then there are, each one is a chiyuv, and therefore there's no reason to be mechayivim a second time around. Or do you derive it like Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni from the Posek Kayonim, where the Iker chiyuv is on Yudalid, and that which you did is only a tashlum, and now you came in contact with Yudalid, and you're a Ben Eir on Yudalid, you have to read the Megillah a second time. That's what I got out of this piece from Rabbi Shalom. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop. We'll stop. Good, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because
enough people that
were not
just.
If you can help me out with the publicity, that'd be very well. Because from a gold chart, you can all over come. Max is in Quincy.
Max
Raven. You'll recognize him if you see him, but he's now in
Quincy.
Not
bad. So, yeah. Everybody's in Bat, the Kiddush on Shabbat.
Which are your Kiddush?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Your shoes got erased. Uh-huh. Okay, let's see what's going on here. Okay.
Got
this.
So.